All right, let's open our Bibles to Psalm chapter 119. Singing has been great today. The children did a great job, and they did a great job, so we're grateful for them. We are going to be looking at Psalm 19. I know it's a little bit later than I normally get up, so what that means is we're going to get out later than we normally do, okay? that means I'll talk a little bit faster, and I don't anticipate going long. The thoughts will be pretty precise and pretty quick tonight. So we look at Psalm 119, I think it'll help us. there are some things that seem, that throughout history really, that have seemed impossible, but in reality, they weren't impossible. You know, if you took someone from, say, 120 years ago, 1900, and you brought them and you could transport them to today, the things that they would see a bunch of things that, you know, we take for granted, but that to them were not possible. Cars, telephones, technology, all the different things. But man was able to get there. You know, I was thinking about where we're going with the message tonight. Sometimes in Christianity and in the times in which we live, we believe there are some things that are just hard for Christians to achieve in their life, things that are hard to live. But the fact of the matter is, with God's help, they're not. I think sometimes we just have a defeatist attitude, and we have a defeatist spirit, and we think that the world in which we live in is stronger. Think about this. This is even ignorant. We wouldn't put it in these terms, but here's what we're really saying. The world in which we live and the temptations we face are stronger than the God whom we serve. That doesn't make sense to me, because the God we serve can help us to do the things that he tells us to do and to have victory in this world. And I'm going to look at one of those things that seems impossible, particularly in the times in which we live. But the fact of the matter is, it's not impossible. And it's living a clean and pure life. Just even saying that, some people are like, ugh. You use words like holiness, you use words like righteousness, you know, and these different things, and it's like, how is that even possible in the age in which we live? Well, I'm pretty sure that God knew that we would be facing these things, and he gave us everything we need in the Bible, and I think that we can have that. Psalm chapter 119, we're not going to go through the whole chapter, okay? We'll be here for a while. It's the longest chapter in the Bible. It's 176 verses. And they are broken up into 22 sections of 8 verses. And if you look at the top of each verse, you see the different things, Aleph, Beth, that each 8 verses have a heading. That's the Hebrew alphabet, and each letter corresponds to those different 8 verses. But really, the whole theme of Psalm chapter 119, which was probably written by David, most believe that it was, the whole theme is the Word of God. The whole chapter is talking about God's word. He uses different words for it, commandments, statutes, testimonies, and different things, and commands. But it's all talking about the word of God. And we're going to focus on this little section of verses here, verses number 9 through 16. These verses speak about living right and moral purity and cleanliness as a Christian. When we think about purity, purity is avoiding or eliminating anything that would defile you. You know, we think of, you say your child went out and was playing in the mud, you bring them in, and they get all cleaned up, and they're totally spotless, they took their bath, and then they run back out, and they get in the mud. In a sense, they would be defiled. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about the dirt and the filth and the things of the world that get on us if we're not careful, and by their very nature, it keeps us from being pure. Sin defiles and destroys, and all of us need to have some type of protection against it. Now, he talks about a young man here. Temptations are especially strong. It's strong for everybody, don't get me wrong. but particularly, some sins are stronger towards those that are younger. And if he's talking about the impurities and how young men can have victory, so can those of us that are no longer young men. We're just a little bit past it, okay? And then some of you that are well past it in your life there. Thanks for not laughing. That's good. But think about it. Look at those in the Bible that were able to overcome these in their youth. You think about Daniel in Babylon. Daniel was taken into another kingdom, another country, different culture. Here he is, a young man, and facing all these different things. And you know, after a little while, some of the temptations he wouldn't have. But the temptations to fall away from the Lord in different things. And David and his young friends were able to stay on point and to be able to stand in a society where they were very few that would stand. You think of Joseph. Joseph is probably the prototypical one when we think about this. When Joseph faced a temptation, particularly with Potiphar's wife, that was the strongest temptation you could have thrown at Joseph. Now, that's the temptation that all people have to fight, okay? But you think about it. Here's a man ripped away from his family, ripped away from his country, really a slave, just working at this guy's dictates. And here's this I'm pretty sure she was. Satan wouldn't throw any, you know, this beautiful lady throwing herself at him. And he was able to stand straight and stand true. So righteousness and purity is attainable by God's people. But what we have done, if we're not careful, we allow ourselves to be tainted by the world. And really, Christianity in some forms has allowed it in and even excused it. But God wants us to be pure. Because when we allow things in that would taint us, depurify our life, you understand those come with consequences. And it doesn't just ruin our spirituality, it kind of can wreck everything that's going on in our life. God doesn't want us to be that. It is not impossible to remain pure, even though we live in probably in this country for sure the hardest time that it would be to live pure. Our entertainment system regularly inserts immorality. It has nothing to do with the storyline. Why? It's just they try to make things like that just look normal. That's just what people do. And it's no different than, you know, two people playing a game of tennis together. And if we think any differently, we're weird. We have a music industry. Music really is nothing more than filth and garbage. It's funny. You can say something in a song because you're saying it to music that if you said it without music, you'd be called out for. But because you said it under the guise of music, it's freedom of expression and it's art. Well, that's not how God sees it. It's filth. Right? What do they always tell you? Oh, you know, it's just the music I listen to, which that's bad too, but it's not the words. But yet when they're trying to teach people something, they use music. It's not just entertainment. By the way, I'll say this over and over and over, and I'll never stop saying it. You should not be listening to non-Christian music. You shouldn't be listening to that nonsense. You're never going to be the Christian you're supposed to be if you're listening to that nonsense. You can try to prove it to me, but you won't. And I've said this over and over. You'll never spiritually rise above the level of the music that you allow yourself to listen to. Well, that's just love music. No, it's lust music. There's a huge difference there. And it talks about all the nonsense. But we have to fight it, okay? It'd be hard for our young people to stay pure when they're listening to music that talks about nothing but filth. We even have books and novels who glorify immorality. I don't read novels, but whatever. If you ladies read those, oh, it's a love novel. And here's a lady who's falling in love with someone who's not her husband. And then you're rooting for them. Right? Have you ever, thank you, this is a good thought. I just came up with it. I didn't come up. You ever read Romans chapter 1 when it talks about all the filth and it talks about, homosexual, all that stuff right there? And it not only condemns those that do it, it condemns those that take pleasure in it as well. You may never do something immoral or wicked like that, but if you take pleasure in it and your entertainment, this is getting real quiet in here, if you take pleasure in your entertainment, you're partaking of it in that sense. What does the outline say? Move ahead quickly. Okay, good. Websites and applications that make millions of dollars off of pornography. That is so wrong and so evil and so And it's and the thing about our society when it comes to being pure, it is at your fingertip. It's there. You can open your computer and get it in a heartbeat. And so you have to be very careful about that. That's why teenagers, children shouldn't have any of that stuff. You hand them an iPad and send them to their room. I don't like to say in our day, right? Because it's like, in our day, okay? You know, when dinosaurs ruled the world. You know, we used to hop on a Tyrannosaurus Rex and it took us straight to school. You know, we had the Fred Flintstone car. You know, you have to. But, you know, if we wanted to see immorality, we had to go to these things called adult bookstores. They had no windows. And people would hide themselves before they would go in there. They didn't want people to know. That stuff is freely accessible. Let's get in super quiet. Because so you have to be very careful. It's just thrown out there. I'm not trying to discourage you. We're going somewhere encouraging in a minute. In our school system, it doesn't stand up for that which is right anymore. Do whatever you want. Be whatever you want. You say, well, Pastor, this is all unsafe stuff. But, you know, if you look around the landscape, it can be discouraging to see that Christians have bought into this. The majority of Christians, young people, listen to what I said. I chose that word carefully. Majority will not make it to the marriage altar pure. I understand if someone wasn't saved and got saved later on in life, right? But I'm talking about people that grew up in church. Well, you know, we plan on getting married. It doesn't always happen. Could be you're with somebody else's wife. And so we have to be very careful. And I think that's very sad, by the way. The percentage of Christian men who are into pornography is not much lower than the unsaved. Okay, nothing on that one. Thank you. You're weird if you don't want to listen to this filthy secular music or any type of entertainment, which is just flat out wicked. And so there's so much. And say, what are you trying to do? Discourage us? Yeah, we'll just pray and go home and give up. No, no. Here's the point. It doesn't have to be that way. It shouldn't be that way. The problem is Christianity has given up. And so what we try to do now is we've lowered the bar so low that it's just like we make those kind of things not as bad as they really are. Now, if a person comes into Christianity a little bit later and they get saved, God can give you victory over that, right? But why would we want to do that as Christians? As Christians, you know better, and when you allow yourself to do that, you are searing your conscience. And you'll be judged, I think, a little bit harsher. You don't know better. You know better. Well, you know, Pastor, it just happens. It's just the world we live in. Right. And the fact that we say that means we know the world's like that, so why don't we put up guards? What's the message tonight? You can be pure. And I'm not just talking about immorality, although that's the big one in the room. I'm just talking about in every area of your life. There are some people that would never cheat on their wife. They'd never do something. But to go to work and absolutely lie is no big deal to them. To cheat and to steal is not a big deal. Okay, you want me to preach on immorality because you're doing good with that area, okay? We have to be very careful. So, don't do the mental math because all of these are super short. I can give you 8 motivations from these verses that can help us to pursue purity successfully. Okay? Yeah, I could stop with number 1 and we could go home. And it's like, well, Pastor, why don't you? We'll save some time. Number 1, our power is, this is, you've never heard this before. You ready? Our power is obedience. Verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? Wherewithal means the means. How can he do it? What is that which would help him to do it? That's what the word is. It's the how, the what. How can he do it? Here's this magic formula. Nope. By taking heed thereto according to thy word. It says, you want to know how you can cleanse your way, how you can be clear? Yeah, Pastor, I want that secret. Listen to the Bible and do what it says. Right. If you ever want to come counsel with me, I can help you with it. We can make it super simple here. I'm going to tell you to do what the Bible says. People come in, and they have a problem, and they have an issue. And by the way, it's better because people listen to the preaching. I appreciate that. That saves us both a lot of time. But they come in, they have a problem, and what they want is they want the problem to be alleviated without getting to the reason that they have a problem. The reason we have problems is because we disobey God, and the solution to get rid of the problem is to start obeying God. I'm not going to open my desk and I have this magic dust I throw on you and everything's better. Okay? You know what I should do is say, I have some magic dust. And I open my desk and I pull out a Bible. And I'm like, do what it says. Okay? You know, Pastor, I hate when people hate when you give them simplistic answers, right? It's like, but it's the only answer. Like, well, it's 2 plus 2, 4. No, I don't like that. That's too simplistic. But it's right. And so the easiest way is let's just do what God says. If we listen to, by the way, you know where impurity comes from? Impurity comes from disobeying God's word. So let's think this through. If it comes from disobeying God's word, then purity would come from obeying God's word. How many want to go home? Sorry, we have 7 more points. Where if I had to study, you have to listen. But that's it. We like to see how close we can, by the way, and then I'll move on. But it doesn't help when you try to see how close you can get to impurity in any form and still be clean. That's a super bad plan. How many of you understand that? The best way to stay away from it is to avoid it, is stay as far away from it as you can. That's why we put up boundaries. Can I just tell you something? I will never drive alone in a car with, and you say, well, you're old. Not old, I'm older. You're older now, so it's not an issue. But I would never drive alone in a car with a lady who's not my wife or a family member. That's been my standard forever. Is that sin? I'm going to be real honest with you. No. But let's be real. If I won't get alone with a woman, I'm probably not going to sin with a woman. That's called a barrier. And it's unwise, borderline foolish to do that. How about people sometimes we're eating and if you go for lunch with someone, you'll look over, you'll see at business meetings. Two people, they're having a business lunch and one's a guy and one's a girl and they're not married, you can tell. I'll never do that. But it's a business luncheon. Then I'm going to bring someone with me. See, we have to be very careful. So let's not just say, hey, Pastor, I'm obeying. Hey, are you getting right up against the line? Because you're going to cross the line. Temptation is stronger when we get up against the line. So that's the easy point, okay? Number two, our regulator is commitment. What keeps us there? Commitment. Verse 10, I love these two words, and you should study this out. They're all over the Bible. There's several times it's mentioned in Psalm chapter 119. With my, what are the next two words? Whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. He says, I am seeking God with my whole heart. You know why? I don't want to wander from God's commandments. What is wandering from God's commandments? Not doing them. Getting a distance away from them. And so, if you, what is going to regulate us and keep us pure? We have to go at Christ full force. I'm so tired of this half-hearted nonsense. You know what? I came to church. I'm good for the week. How many of you would only eat once a week? Okay, here we go. Ready? How many of you would only bathe once a week? You don't have to raise your hands. I know. Just kidding. Come on now. You know, I'm not going to say one of the grandkids was over and stay in the night. I'm like, hey, you need to take a bath. He goes, you know, I need one. I haven't taken one in 2 days. I'm like, issue. That's an issue. Life lesson number 12, take a bath every day. But it's like, you know, look, we have to be wholehearted in this thing. We want the results without putting in the effort. And we're going to wander from God's commandments if we're not seeking him with our whole heart. The word wander means to err, to stray, to be deceived and taken away from. Dedication is always the key to success. I'll say it over and over and I'll never stop. The Christian life was never designed by God to be successful. You know what I'm saying. If it's lived half-heartedly. He wants 100, all my heart, all my soul, all. He wants all of it. You know, how come it is, and I'll move on to the next one, how come it is we celebrate that kind of dedication in other things, but we don't celebrate it, that kind of dedication in Christianity, right? Patrick Henry, who was the great founding father, said this when they were fighting for freedom of our country. Gentlemen may cry, peace, peace, but there is no peace. And look what he said. Is life so dear? Or peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains. As for me, give me liberty or give me death. We understand that. He's saying, we're not going to chase liberty if that means we're in bondage. I would rather die than not be free. That's dedication. Are we that dedicated to the Lord? Like, Lord, I'm all in. This is not just something I do on Sundays. This is who I am. This is my life. This is how I'm going to live. Commitment. Number three, our protection is remembrance. Verse 11. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Now, look, I know this. You can't obey something you do not know. If you don't know the Word of God, if the Word of God isn't just something you're hearing, and then as soon as you walk out the church doors, you forget everything you heard, right? Or you read it in the morning in such a rush, you get nothing out of it. It's not in your heart. How in the world are we going to be able to maintain it in our lives? That's why we read it every day. Right? If you like to read, some people do like to read the same book. That was such a book. I've read it several times. I don't like to do that. I read a book and there's other book to read. I'll move that to the side. I'll highlight it and I may go back to the points and look at it every now and then. But the Bible's not like that. Like, okay, hey, I read it through. I'm good to go for the rest of my life. No, we have to be in it constantly, constantly. And not only do we have to be in it, it's got to be in us. We'll talk about that a little bit more in one of the other points. But how are we protected that we may not sin against God? We have to remember it. It has to be in our heart. That's why most people get tripped up. You know, something comes their way and they can't give a biblical reason why it's wrong. And nothing comes to mind where God's word is saying, run the other way, don't do that. Because we don't know it. I'm not getting on us. I'm admonishing us. Let's learn the word of God. Let's know what it is saying. That's very important. Well, how did Jesus defeat Satan? It is written. He didn't have a copy with him, by the way. It's written. Hey, do this. It is written. Hey, do this. It is written. And guess what? Satan had enough of that after 3 times. He struck out and he moved on. But we have to know the Word of God. It has to be in our mind. Is it important to you? Number four, we're doing real good. Of course, the last point will take 25 minutes. Our inspiration to be pure, our inspiration is desire. Verse 12. He goes, you know, blessed art thou, O Lord. He's just thinking through this. Teach me thy statutes. In other words, one of the reasons he could have the Word of God at the forefront and the Word of God could be there as a buffer for him to remember to do the things he was supposed to do is because that's what he wanted. It's about desire. People go after those things which they desire. By the way, when it comes to purity of life and doing the right thing, let me just ask this, because if you don't answer this question right, this message is a waste of time. Are you ready? Do you really want to live a righteous life? Do you really want to live a pure life? If your answer is no, then you've probably mentally checked out. Because if you can't force somebody. You have to want it. And desire is everything. You look at every area of Christianity. Again, I'm not belaboring this. But it's just something I say because it's in the Bible. It's just, you look at any area of Christianity in your life and where you are at in that area on a scale of how well you're doing, right? Wherever you land on the scale, that's because that's where you want to be. How much of the Bible do you know? As much as you want to know. How pure am I in life? As pure as you want to be. How close to God am I? As close as you wanted to be. Don't blame anybody else. You can do that and it can cleanse your conscience and allow you to keep going to a wrong direction, but it doesn't work with God. It's all about personal accountability. So whatever it is, on a spiritual scale, you're there, you're as high as you are because you desire. He said, I want to know your statutes. He's saying, here's how a young man stays clean. Here's what you need to do. Here's what needs to happen. And he goes, teach me thy statutes. This is someone that was writing scripture. They knew it. And yet he goes, I still need to learn because we always need. What's your desire? What do you really want in life? Do you really want to follow God? Do you really want to, do you just want to go and say, Lord, to the best of my ability, I am following you and I'm trying to protect myself from what's going on in this world? Desire. Number five, our witness is a testimony. Our witness is a testimony. Look what he says in verse 13. With my lips, I have declared all the judgments of my mouth. He was not just willing to know the word of God, he was willing to be vocal about it. Now come on, let me just tell you this. If you're not willing to be vocal about being a Christian, and by vocal I don't mean weird, obnoxious, and a jerk, okay? It's like some people are like, I'm being persecuted for my faith. No, you're a ninny, no one likes you, okay? You know, you're rude. But you know, if we're hiding it, why are we hiding it? Think about that for a minute. Because we're concerned about what other people may say, right? And I'm not saying you go to work tomorrow and you jump up on the lunch table and say, excuse me, I'm a Christian and you're a pagan. Okay, that's not what I'm talking about. But do people know you're a Christian? You know, you don't need to advertise it you don't need to go to work tomorrow with a t-shirt that has flames. You know, turn or burn. You know, try or fry. That's just idiotic, okay? I don't know if you can get one of those. Yeah, I have seen those. But you know, that'll tell us how our desire's going. If we want to be secretive about our Christianity, could it be that's why, because we know we're not on that scale? Someone would call us out. If you work somewhere and you do try to live for the Lord, you probably know people at your work. I have, not on the church staff. But, you know, it's like they say they're Christians, but their life is just not a Christian. They're a terrible testimony to the people you work with, right? I mean, know what I'm talking about, right? If that's you and your purpose and you're hiding it, don't hide it. And another thing is this. When you hide it, the temptations are going to be a little bit worse. Because stuff's going to come your way. People will say things to you like just something like some idiotic, ungodly thing. Isn't that true? That's true, right? How do you have someone do that? I mean, we're going to roll abortion, right? Well, it's like you got to answer. Like, no, not right. But we hide it because we don't want people to know. He's like, I'm going to declare it. I want people to know where I stand. Because it helps me be accountable now. Number six, our joy is contentment. Verse 14, he says, I have rejoiced in the way of thy testimonies as much as in all riches. He says, I'm excited about your testimonies and joy in the way of them. That really is talking a little bit about the way it wants you to live. He goes, I'm rejoicing in that as much as in all riches. Now, we would all say this. I would rather live for Jesus than be rich. That sounds good, but is it real? Is there an amount of money or a job you can get that would affect your Christianity and you would, in one way or another, talk yourself into it? Is it really the most important thing to you? Look, if we want to be clean and we want to follow God's word, we have to have joy in God's word. If you don't like what it's telling you to do, you can't have joy in it. Joy. We have to be content with the fact that I'm going to follow God's word. If we're not content with following God's word, then we're the opposite. We're discontent. If we're discontent with God's word, we're going to be discontent with following God, and the way of the world's going to look a lot better to us. And then you get so deep into it, it gets too late, and you get sucked into it. And then you have to pay the prices. Is God's word really that important to you? Number seven, our transformation is meditation. Look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Is God's word in your mind? Is the only time you think about God's word when you, I hope you read it every day, by the way. If you don't, you're going to struggle. But I read my Bible today, and as soon as I was done, I kind of closed it, and that was that. You never think about anything related to God's word the rest of the day. Right? You come to church, and you hear a message, and we read the scripture together, and then you go home, and it's just never a part of my mind. Sometimes we need to just stop and think about what God has said. Think about it. When a decision comes your way, right, the first thing we should do is, I got to make this decision. It's kind of an important decision. Sometimes it's just a decision of right and wrong, but sometimes life decision. You should stop and think, what does God's word say about that? What would God say? Take the outward stuff and put that to the side. First thing you look at, does God specifically speak about this? Are there principles in the scripture that would help guide my decision in this area? It's got to get in our mind. It's got to be there. And when we do that, we'll do the right thing. And when we do the right thing, we are going to stay away from impurity. And then lastly, our consideration is delight. Look at verse 16. He just lays it all out. I will delight myself in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word. You know the reason, and I'll be done, the reason why a lot of people don't want to live a pure life, and let's just be real honest here, is because they really don't think they'll be happy if they do. Let's be real. We don't. The world has so bombarded us with this idea that we need to do what we want to do. We need to do our own thing. And that the word of God is restrictive. By the way, that's the lie of Satan. And you know what? Let's be real honest. From a strategic standpoint, it's worked for thousands of years. It worked at the very first time he tried it. Eve. What did God say? Oh, no. God said that because he knows that in the day, God's wrong. If you just eat this, you can be the boss of your own life and it's all going to go good. And she bought the lie. God's word is delightful. Following God's way is the way to follow. It's where joy comes from. And don't buy the lie that it's restrictive. Okay? Psalm 119 has a verse that freedom is found within the confines of God's law. I will walk at freedom, for I keep thy commandments. I think that's what it says. You say, wait a minute. If I keep God's commandments, which is doing what he says, I have freedom? Yeah, obedience always brings a free life. You know what brings a bondage in life and problems in life? Sin. And Satan is so good at getting us to buy into it. What's the point tonight? We can be pure in this world. We do not have to give in. We don't need the ways of the world to get into our lives. And by the way, we're not going to let the ways of the world get into our church. Okay? When you come here, it's going to be church. You're not going to come here and say, wow, that didn't even feel like church. You want that? Go somewhere else. All right? You with me? I want church. I mean, I just kind of expect when I come to church, we're going to sing Christian songs. I'm just going to kind of expect we're going to use the Bible. Right? I'm just going to kind of expect, well, I know where the messages are, that we're going to say the truth. Okay? That's the key here. But the point is, you can live right in this world. And I'm going to tell you, you talk to people that have been Christians for a while, and they followed it true and asked them, none of them are ever going to say, you know what? Man, I made a mistake. I wish I would have done my own thing. But I can tell you, people over the years, I've been doing this a long time, that have come and say, man, the worst thing I ever did was just start doing my own thing. You can. Don't give in. Don't buy that nonsense. You can live right in this world if you so choose. God has given us the weapon, and we know what it is. It's right here. Oh, Pastor, that's so simple. Then do it. Didn't we just finish a whole series on Sunday morning, The Simple Christian Life? Yep, I agree. Simple. Let's just follow it. Let's bow our head and close our eyes for a minute, if we may. Every head bowed and every eye closed just for a minute. I tried to go through these. They were all short points, but I think you get the point of what I'm trying to say. We can stand together, please. We can live right. You young people, don't listen or follow or believe what the world is telling you. You should, by the way, young people shouldn't have social media. I'll amen that one myself. Amen. Because you see, all you see is the good points of stuff on social media. And by the way, it's not good. They make it look good. Oh, man, we're party life. Yeah. Living the life. No, no, no. They're paying the price. You know, no one that does that stuff ever puts a picture on there when they're paying the price. Bad advertisement for Satan. Don't buy into that nonsense. By the way, adults, neither do you. You singles, like, you grew up in church, you become a single, and you start to see that stuff, and it seems cool, and it seems the way to go. Why don't you see the result of that 10 years down the road? No, living for the Lord, that's the way. I don't regret it. Starting when I was 17, 18. Through those years when everybody's doing their own thing and the party life, I gave that, I was done. And it's the best decision I ever made. Don't have to live that way. Now, how are you doing? Maybe there's areas of your life you've allowed some things in. By the way, it doesn't always have to be the big ones, right? It's the small ones. I'm telling you, you can be right if we follow these things and we follow the Word of God. I don't know what God spoke to you about tonight. If God spoke to you, the piano's going to play, the altar is open. Why don't you come?